Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. Each week, we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Ryan Penny. Today, it seems that the rule is the younger you are, the less religious you are. The less likely you are to even know what cable TV is, and the more likely you are to be scrolling through TikTok or YouTube Shorts right now. Just a few years ago, it was the constant pressure of keeping up with your neighbors and classmates, and now it's about keeping up with the highly edited and photoshopped highlight reel of thousands of your closest friends and followers that are the first thing you see every day when you're scrolling through your iPhone before you even get out of bed in the morning. The new movie stars, supermodels, and influencers are now anybody with a blue check next to their name. And to make matters worse, the designers of this new virtual world have publicly admitted that they deliberately design these platforms in order to keep people glued to them as long as possible, because in today's global digital market, clicks are the new currency. All of this creates a problem, not just for the televangelist of yesterday, but even for the close friend who's trying to share the gospel message in a personal conversation because the friend they're talking to is too busy checking who's looked at their latest Instagram story. But in addition to EWTN and groups with similar missions, there are some courageous souls who have risen to meet the challenge by jumping into the twilight zone of social media land with their own personal accounts that, with a special combination of ingenuity and creativity, and no doubt God's grace, have attracted the attention and following of collectively hundreds of thousands of young people and the world at large. Three of these new evangelists, as Pope St. John Paul II would call them, are here today on the Catholic Sphere to discuss how they're using their platforms to bring the truth of the Catholic faith and the beauty and the goodness of the Catholic life to smartphones and lost souls all over the planet. First, we have Lauren DeWitt, aka the Contemplative Homemaker on Instagram, who is a Catholic convert, wife, and mother living a contemplative life in the world. Jordan Burke of Do the Harder Thing on Instagram, which is dedicated to reestablishing authentic Catholic culture by building a community of virtuous men and women. And Keith Downey of Grassroot Catholic, which is helping millennials rediscover a Catholic tradition by sharing teachings and Q&As as well as relatable Catholic reels with humor. And collectively, the three of them have over 70,000 followers, so they are more than qualified to speak on this topic. Lauren, Jordan, and Keith, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Lauren, I wanted to start with you. Can you tell us some of what led to your conversion to Catholicism and whether your change in faith also led to a change in how you use social media? And also, what inspired you to create a page dedicated to showing the beauty of the faith, family, and motherhood?
Yeah, well, as most of you know, conversion stories are rarely very streamlined, but there's some definite major themes in my conversion. And one of the huge factors that played a role in my conversion to Catholicism was my motherhood. So I was raised Southern Baptist. My father was actually a Baptist minister. And like many, many young people, when I went to college, I fell away from the faith that I had been raised in. And I lived an extremely secular lifestyle in every respect. That and a lifestyle of sin never plays out well. And I ended up getting to a really low point, and it was at one of the lowest points in my law school career, actually, that I found out I was pregnant. And that changed everything for me. Before that point, I had been pro-choice. I had always assumed that if I got pregnant, I would have an abortion. But in that moment, when I found out I was pregnant, I said the first prayer I had prayed in years. And I said, God, I need you. I need help. And so 9 months later, I had a beautiful baby girl, and she was the reason I started changing my whole life around and started making better decisions. I started going back to church, and because my stance on pro-life issues changed after experiencing my own pregnancy, I started looking for a church that actually was pro-life. And surprisingly or not, the Catholic Church is really the only church left that is holding the line on that issue. And as I began to look into Catholicism and to study it and to ask questions, and I learned theology of the body and how beautifully symmetrical all the teachings of Catholicism are and how they're rooted in natural law. And it was just beautiful. It felt like coming home. And so it was a natural process for me at that point.
Amazing. Lauren, I love what you said about how symmetrical the teachings of the Catholic faith are, and especially being introduced to the symmetry of the logic of the truth through theology of the body. That's the same thing happened to me in my faith journey as well. And learning these teachings that I certainly didn't know, even though I was raised a Catholic. Now, speaking of teachings and knowing the truth of the faith, Keith, I want to pivot to you. You had a professional acting career before creating Grassroot Catholic. Tell us how you made your way to being a social media evangelist and a catechist to share these teachings and the symmetry of the Catholic faith, particularly with millennials, and how your background in entertainment has shaped the personality of your platform.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a quick background on that. Like, I'd been with a talent agency up until the later part of last year, where they'd send me to auditions for mostly commercial work, little television. I mean, you don't go to Arizona to start like a full-fledged acting career, okay? That's the market's awful in that regards. So I've been doing this, going to auditions, gigs, doing gigs, and then COVID happens. And everything stops like it did. And once things started picking back up, I was getting auditions with the caveat you had to show proof of vaccination. And at that time, I'm not vaccinated, spoiler alert. And so I was like, well, I guess I have to, find another way to, give my creative outlet an outlet. So I'd been toying around the idea of using social media for something. Really wasn't until then that I discovered, okay, I think this is what I need to do, using my God-given talents, not for restaurant commercials, which is not very fulfilling, and more so for spreading the faith on Instagram, YouTube. And the funny thing, too, I didn't really notice this until a little bit earlier, is that, commercial work is very quick. Like, you have to convey a story in under usually 30 seconds. It's almost the same with Instagram and all the other social media. You have to convey a story. Otherwise, you're going to lose people almost instantly. So if you're able to tell a story within maybe 15-second span time nowadays, you're getting across the message. And that's kind of been what I've been doing over the last year.
Yeah, and you do an amazing job of it. There's no question about that. Whether it's a meme or a hilarious reel, or you doing Q&As or live chats or whatever, it is highly entertaining. And we need more of that combination of entertainment and humor and sharing the faith. And I've certainly been a fan of your page for a long time. So everybody, if you have an Instagram account, you want to make sure that you're following Keith at Grassroot Catholic, and you'll get a real hoot out of it. Also be highly spiritually edified as well. Jordan, let's pivot to you now. I've had the privilege of knowing you for a few years. We've been friends for almost a decade now. And the first several times that I ever hung out with you, you were always in a police uniform. You served in law enforcement as a police officer for a few years, from what I remember, before becoming a serious Catholic. And in that time, you always told me how you would every day see human nature at its worst. How has that influenced your current apostolate, which, as anyone who spends any amount of time on your page knows, puts a lot of emphasis on spiritual warfare and battling the demonic?
So that's a great question. So we have been friends for, I think last time we talked, for a little over 10 years now. And I was a police officer for a little over six, I think, in Birmingham. which constantly ranks as one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in the nation. So every day I got called, which was multiple times a day, and I worked in one of the busiest beats, project housing, things of that nature. Every call is somebody's worst day of their life, right? No matter what it is. So imagine responding to somebody's worst day of their life, you know, 30 plus times a day or whatever the call volume was, depending on the season. You get a glimpse into humanity, but you get a glimpse into the worst parts of humanity, not just those who are calling who are victims of horrific crimes, but those who are perpetrated and having to chase those people down and capture them. And during the course of that, I had a lot of discussions with people, and I was really just, I've always been kind of a curious mind, and I wanted to know what brought you here, what brought you to this point. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I think it was because at that time I was myself living in mortal sin. I wasn't a serious practicing Catholic. And it was only until after I had a true conversion, or some people say reversion, but conversion, that I was able to see the reality of what lies behind what we see or what's presented to us in the world. And, you know, it's, the scripture is very clear. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And, you know, the devil's not under every rock. But I like to say the world, the flesh are often influenced by the third. So not to put too much emphasis on the spiritual nature of things, but to recognize that it is there. And there is a proper balance that we have to recognize that, yeah, these things are real. And this is the battle that we're in. And just through my work with the Avila Foundation, that's kind of become my primary focus. So.
Excellent. Yes, as you said, we shouldn't be looking for the devil under every rock, and we have to take a level of personal responsibility for our actions, which is certainly highly needed, especially among millennials today. We also have to be aware that we're not just battling with our own fallen human nature, our own weaknesses, and that's an aspect of self-help, if you will, that is largely missing in that genre and that sphere on social media. So you do a fantastic job of breaking down the spiritual world in a way that sadly many Catholics don't often hear about from the pulpit.
Thank you.
So it's been really great to see. Lauren, let's pivot back to you now. I have sort of several questions rapid fire for you. You can just answer them as you will, but what is your primary demographic? Is it young mothers, young women who hope to be mothers one day? What have your conversations with your followers taught you about what young people are wanting and needing the most today? You know, social media provides a seemingly endless array of distortions of authentic masculinity and femininity, and what constitutes the true good life. Has your page served as a kind of respite for wayfaring travelers through social media land, lost but seeking souls, perhaps, but especially young women? And what have constituted some of your most meaningful interactions in your comment boxes?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope that my page is a source of respite for young women in particular. My typical demographic is ages 18 to 50 or so, and it is women. And it's women desiring renewal in their motherhood and their marriages. That is the struggle that so many women, I would say almost every woman, is facing these days. You know, from my own conversion story, a lot of my sinfulness and woundedness came from my broken understanding of what authentic femininity was. And women are so hungry to understand what it means to really be a woman of God. And, you know, not this 1950s stereotypical housewife kind of thing, but not also this like boss babe in the corner office kind of thing. And so, it's been important to me to show in real life that, hey, you can live a life that is traditional, that the world is not championing right now. There's no metrics or dollar signs equated with motherhood. I can't measure units of nurture given to my husband and my children. So by the world standards, a lot of times we're hidden, and we don't look like we're contributing in meaningful ways, maybe. So my goal with the page has been to show, no, there's beauty in this, there's grace. You can live a contemplative life in action, and you can grow in your relationship with Christ just by serving those closest with you. And, you know, some of the best conversations I've had have been with other women struggling. I mean, I can't tell you how many women come to me and talk to me about their marriages that are struggling. They're, a lot of times the women are growing in their faith life, and maybe their husbands aren't there yet, and it's presenting a lot of challenges. And how do you live a rightly ordered marriage with your husband as head of the household when he's not leading spiritually? How do we do that? How do we bounce back from sins of our past, and how do we carry those into our motherhood to make sure our children don't make the same mistakes we do? Those have been the conversations that have meant the most to me, and that come up to me in my own prayer life, and where I have also found more growth just because of the support that I have found out there as well.
That's amazing, Lauren. Yeah, you are addressing an issue that not enough people are willing to address. You know, on the one hand, you had this past of being anything but pro-life, and you weren't a Catholic, and now you realize that the crowning achievement of any human life is being a mother or a father to those who have come after us, and showing the truth and the beauty and goodness of that. And you are, well, certainly you're a feminist's worst nightmare, which is a good thing, because what is often propped up as good for women on social media, like I see it every day, unfortunately, I have to because of my job, is the loudest voice in the online sphere. So thank you for what you do. We need a lot more of it out there. So Keith, we need a lot more of what you offer particularly as well. So I want to ask you basically the same question, you know, but in a digital space dominated by the relentless onslaught of the misinformation police, has grassroots Catholics served as an oasis for secret seekers of truth? What demographics have you found your platform serves primarily? And could you share some of what has made up your most meaningful interactions with your followers, or even perhaps the Herods who can't help but listen to John the Baptist but are too afraid to commit yet?
Yeah, so I mean, very similar to what Lauren's analytics were, so to speak. And some of these are all just kind of vanity metrics that don't even really matter. But it's just really interesting to see that primarily, and thankfully too, it is a lot of millennials that happen to follow my account. But it's also female, more heavy on the female side, which is interesting. And I think a lot of it is just a lot of wives that may be in one spot versus, you know, where their husbands are at, kind of what Lauren was mentioning, which is really interesting. I certainly hope that people find my account to be an oasis of truth. I mean, primarily my stuff is just taken out of the catechism. So a lot of things that I didn't know when I was kind of in a lost in translation, so to speak, in my faith, that I didn't know about when I was growing up. That's kind of how I've been trying to utilize the platform in a manner of speaking. But as far as some, you know, interactions with people, it's very endearing to have people come to me and say, hey, you know, I'm kind of working through this particular piece of my faith, like, can you help me out? And I'm like, wow, you really are trusting me to give you an answer. I really appreciate that. But then you have some other individuals that, you know, they're asking questions, and you're like, you probably should be asking a priest these. I'm not a spiritual director by any means, but, you know, it is really an experience when people come to you and say, hey, you are part of the reason why, like, I'm going back to Mass. And while that's like, oh yeah, that's me, it's not. I'm just a tool, you know, a tool to help get people back to Mass, basically. So.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Whatever way that God wants to use us. And Jordan, like you make a really good point of, you know, sometimes people reach out to you and you're like, well, I hope that, you know, you can find a good priest to help you with some of these questions. But as Mother Angelica wasn't shy to talk about is that, you know, sometimes it's hard for people to find a good priest. And, you know, I have to keep on reminding myself this because I'm spoiled living here in Irondale at EWTN headquarters, you know, surrounded by all these holy priests all the time. I'm able to go to mass every day with holy priests, have access to the sacraments on a regular basis, and solid Orthodox Catholic teaching. A lot of Catholics in this country don't live in areas where they don't have access to that. But almost everybody, especially if they're young, are glued to their smartphones. And so sometimes the only truth anybody is going to hear is going to be scrolling through Instagram. That's just the truth of the matter. So we need, it's why, you know, we should all be, even if you're watching this show right now and you never use social media, first off, great for you. But if you're not, at least we need to be praying for all these soldiers of Christ who are using their social media platforms to bring souls back to Christ, because there's not enough of that in the world today. So pivoting to you now, Jordan, asking you the same question that I've asked Lauren and Keith now, but just from your own experience, what have been the most remarkable interactions on your page? And how much of your interactions reinforced your conviction for the need of this kind of ministry?
It's a great question. So in terms of who's there, it's very similar. You know, 18 to, I think, 34 is the primary. And then it kind of spans the rest of the age groups, which is fantastic. And then I have the same as Keith. It's primarily women. And I think it's mostly because more women than men use social media. At least that's what I'm telling myself. But in terms of interactions with people, there's so many, it's hard to narrow it down. I mean, I've created connections with people that I would have never had before. The men's group that I run is because of, you know, guys that I met on Instagram, and though they're all wild, myself included, they're all still searching for virtue and trying to become virtuous as you know, their primary means. But even you know, I have a first class relic of St. Gemma, and I've had the opportunity to send third class relics to people who are in need, and to hear the stories of what happens when they contact me weeks or maybe months later, and I've forgotten about the interaction because, as everyone knows, we talk to so many people it's impossible to keep up with, but that they had some miracle happen in their life. And as Keith said, it's not me. I feel very much like John the Baptist. It's like, don't look at me. God's coming. Look towards God. You know, that's the thing. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to direct you and to help if need be. But I'm simply a messenger. I think the only analogy. So in these interactions with people over the years, right, and learning, because I went through my own phase of like overly zealous and causing problems and things of that nature. The analogy that I think best describes is a lighthouse. Each one of us is a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And what's the job? The job is to keep others from crashing into the shore, these travelers, right? And if you don't have the light, where does light come from? It comes from God, right? Only comes from God. All we're supposed to do there is to be standing there in the midst of the storm and let God be the light. But if you're overzealous, as I was for so long, you can blind the ships, or if you don't have the light within you, they're going to crash into the shore. So that's really what it is. That's the crux of what we're supposed to do. We're just supposed to be the building or the lighthouse and let God do what he wants through each one of us. And as was echoed by everyone here, I mean, praise God that he chooses to, and we pray, we all pray, I know we do, that he continues to, because it's certainly not us.
Well, Jordan, it sounds like if we want to be useful keepers and stewards of the lighthouse, we have to be virtuous, sounds right. Like is what you're saying, because it's easy to go into the one extreme, which is, you know, perhaps unfortunately the most common, which is silence. And people who have large followings on their social media, but never addressing the things that really matter unto eternity. But on the other extreme, you have those who don't address these incredibly important matters prudently and charitably. Right. So we need more witnesses like all three of you who have kind of had to figure out the hard way how to navigate these waters. And we don't have too much time left, but I did want to mention this one thing that, Lauren, you had shared with me that I thought was really important for this whole conversation of how we interact with our followers. Yes, like, yes, we are putting the social in social media, which is a great thing, but you shared with me, and also how if we want to inspire people to do anything, hopefully the first thing we inspire them to do is to get the heck off their smartphone and do something meaningful and productive with their life. But you talked about how even you've kind of taken a step back from social media recently, and as a result have had more opportunities to speak with people who follow your account in person, incarnationally. So I wanted you to have just a minute or two to finish out the show, to speaking some about that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, like Jordan said, I think we've all struggled with some of the pitfalls of social media. Even when we are praying and when we are striving for virtue, we are all very broken individuals. And it's very easy, because of the way the metrics work and the way the algorithms work on social media platforms, to skew you in one direction or another. And I'm so grateful to have a wonderful, faithful, Orthodox spiritual director who can call me on it when I've needed to be called on it before. And so, yeah, I have taken a sabbatical, so to speak, off of social media for the last 3 or 4 months while I went through the spiritual exercises with my director. And I told God back in June, when I was feeling this draw away from it, I'm going to set this aside from now, whatever your will is, I'm here. And what was incredible was within just a few weeks, I started getting all of these requests for in-person speaking. And I love it because, like you said, we don't worship virtually. Our sacraments are material and spiritual. They are all, they're incarnational. And so we cannot just live these lives online. And when we get out into the real world and we're actually meeting with people and we're speaking them and we're having these actual sense interactions with them, there's something really powerful that God can do there. And so that is our hope. I think all three of us would say, yes, we spend a lot of time on social media trying to do the new evangelization, but I think all of our goal would be for you to get off of social media, yes, and get to the actual sacraments.
Yep. Amen. Lauren, what a great way to finish the show today. Thank you again, all of you, for your work to spread the good news using this new media with new means, ardor, and expressions, as Pope St. John Paul II expressed it. It was so great to be with you, Keith Downey, Jordan Burke, and Lauren DeWitt. And thank you all for joining us today.